Hi, I'm Mark DeMoz, one of the teaching pastors at the Mosaic Church of Central Arkansas, located in the University District of Little Rock's Urban Center, 72204. Welcome to our podcast. Founded in the summer of 2001, Mosaic is a multi-ethnic and economically diverse church where significant percentages of Black and white Americans, together with men and women from more than 25 nations, walk, work, and worship God together as one. Learn more at mosaicchurch.net.
The following message was recorded live at Mosaic as part of the VIA series in the winter of 2024. Thanks for listening.
So I want you to know that this morning as we begin again talking about the importance of not so much seeking to be loved as to love. So when it comes to love, history is replete with poems, paintings, sculptures, songs, books, movies, and other forms of communication designed to express and inspire what someone once described as a set of emotions and behaviors characterized by intimacy, passion, and commitment. Whether discussing it in romantic, familiar, or otherwise considerate terms, our need and capacity for love is in significant part what makes us human. As for our Creator, two times in the span of eight verses, the Apostle John writes, God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16. In fact, love is intrinsic to who and why God is, how he acts, and what he does. It's fundamental to both his character and his being. As those made in his image, it will come as no surprise, love is intrinsic to our being then as well. But God is not just any love. In both verses, John uses a very specific term to explain that God is love. In the Greek, the word is agape. Agape is the kind of love and action that shows empathy, extends hope to those in need. It wants the best for others. It offers help or demonstrates beneficial intentions, and it is meant for everyone. Agape is sacrificial. In contrast to other Greek terms for love, including eros, from which we get the word erotic, and phileo, which you have perhaps heard of in the city of brotherly love, that is Philadelphia, agape is creative. It's unselfish and unconditional. It seeks not its own, but gives itself away. By way of agape, God does not love that which is already in itself worthy of love, but on the contrary, that which in itself has no worth acquires its worth just by becoming the object of God's love. To recognize then that God is love, that is agape, is to recognize at least seven things about him in practice. He is empathetic. He extends hope and wants the best for others. He is helpful and demonstrates good intentions. He is sacrificial and gives himself away. He is unselfish. He brings worth or value to those in need of acquiring it. And he loves by choice, an act of his will. In pursuit of becoming instrument of peace, such understanding provides to us a roadmap for seeking more to love than to be loved. Returning to 1 John 4, the apostle articulates both the why and how of Christians loving others as God loves us, using the Greek term agape or a derivative of it throughout this chapter. John writes 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he first loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, if God loves us in this way, we must also love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is perfected in us. Here, John begins then by recognizing love as intrinsic to our humanity. Since we have been made in the image of God, our capacity to love and to be loved is from God himself. Therefore, we not only can, but we should love one another as Christians. However, since John reminds his readers that God sent his one and only Son into the world as a propitiation for our sins, it is clear that John intends for us to love those outside the church as well, and in so doing, see them come to know him as we do. So John writes, "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." This means the expectation to love others both within and outside the church is not only an attesting sign of our salvation, but what anyone who has been born of God knows to be his will. Implied here, too, is that the one who does not know the will of the Father. In other words, by loving those outside the church as God loves them, we partner with the Father to help fulfill his desire for their salvation and the purposes of Christ's anointing. In keeping with the active nature of agape and a willful choice to exercise it, John next explains that God's love was revealed among us in this way. We might ask, what way? Well, specifically by way of God's unselfish sacrifice and an act of his will by which he sent his one and only Son to this world for our behalf. In so doing, God demonstrated good intentions and brought worth to fallen human beings in need of reacquiring value, having been separated from God due to inherited sin. Exhorting his readers, John summarizes, if God loves us in this way, we must also love one another in this way as well, sacrificially, not self-serving, and all for the betterment of others. So in 1 John 4:12, John writes that while no one has ever seen God, if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love will be perfected in us. According to John, then, it's by loving one another that we experience God's presence beyond what eyes can see. What is here translated remains is a Greek term which means to reside, to stay, to tarry, or to dwell. Metaphorically, it means to pitch a tent and abide with someone or in the same spot. It's the same word that John used in John 15 when he wrote, "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must abide in the vine, so neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine," Jesus said, "you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." As in John chapter 4, then, in John 15, the apostle expresses that God intends to abide with us as we abide in him, and he will do so if we love one another. By loving others both in and outside the community of Christian faith, then, John concludes in 1 John 4:12 by saying, God's love is perfected in us. According to Strong's definition, the Greek word translated in the English perfected can mean to complete or to accomplish, to finish, fulfill, or to carry through to its end. In other words, by loving others, God's agape will not only reside in us, but perfect and accomplish his purposes in our lives. Only then, by loving others, can we be fulfilled. As the petitioner then alludes in the prayer of peace, each of us has a need to be loved as well. Notice that the anonymous writer finishes the midsection of this prayer not by suggesting that we should never seek to be loved, but rather by encouraging us to prioritize love for others above our own need for love. And so again, the petitioner prays, O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. And especially in seeking more to love than to be loved, we will need God's help. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, The serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. For God knows that on the day you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be opened, and you will become like God, knowing good and evil." Far from a lie, this was the truth. By eating fruit from the one tree that God expressly commanded the man and woman not to eat, Adam and Eve usurped the divine throne. In other words, only God has the right, and it's alone his prerogative to decide what is right and wrong, to judge what is good and evil, to set boundaries for us and expect obedience. That's the right and prerogative of God. In that moment, however, and in so doing, Adam and Eve stretched out their hands, ate from the fruit, violated the standard, and became then like God, knowing or deciding good and evil for themselves. Similarly, only God has the right and is himself worthy to be worshiped and praised by others. Not only then, having become like God, do we struggle to let him be God in determining what is best and expecting us to follow his lead, but we as human beings also struggle with a shadow that desperately seeks the worship and praise of others too, whether we are conscious of it or not. Simply put, we should be careful not to confuse a legitimate need to be loved with an illegitimate desire to be worshiped and praised, as is all too common and on display in an age of celebrity and influencers obsessed with and driven to increase their fame, their fans, and their followers. Putting this shadow behind, we can consider the otherwise healthy need that we have to be loved, and more specifically, for security and significance. Spiritually speaking, security and significance is exactly what God provides to us when we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. In terms of this life, however, our need for relational, emotional, physical, and even financial security is very real. In large part, such security is why we seek to be loved. Likewise, we need to know that our lives make a difference and that we matter to others. For this reason, too, when others willfully express or give to us their love, it makes us feel more than special. It makes us feel significant. Since there's nothing wrong with seeking to be loved or to find security and significance in this life, we should therefore consider how best to go about finding the love that we seek. You know, after my collegiate baseball career and too slow to get drafted, I remained engaged with the game of baseball for many years, not as a player, but as a coach. First to random players, and then to my own sons and daughters and their friends through high school. It was interesting to me in those early years of coaching that I discovered more as a coach than I ever did as a player about the game of baseball, about its intricacies and nuances, about preparation, technique, strategy, and more. I learned more about the game of baseball as a coach to others than I did as a player myself. Similarly, for those seeking to be loved, the best way to find it is by prioritizing agape for others or by helping someone else recognize this truth as well. As God does, then, let us seek to love others by expressing empathy, extending hope, and wanting the best for others, being helpful and demonstrating good intentions, sacrificing and giving yourself away, living unselfishly, bringing worth or value to those in need of it, making a choice to do so as an act of our will. Through both practicing and coaching, then, we can experience the blessings of security and significance, the essence of love itself. In so doing, we will become instruments of peace and represent Jesus well. Simply put, if you seek to be loved, give it away, and it will come back to you as it did God himself. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would take to heart this admonition and this prayer, not so much to be loved, but to find love by giving it away to others. Let us do that for them as you did first for us, that we might glorify your name in the way we speak, the way we act, the way we live our lives, so that others can come to know you as we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message recorded live at Mosaic Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. Take a moment right now to subscribe on your favorite platform and get our podcasts pushed right to your device each week. We welcome your comments. If you live in Central Arkansas, we hope you'll visit us soon in person. And thanks also for considering our financial needs. To donate, visit mosaicchurch.net. That's mosaicchurch.net. On behalf of all of us at Mosaic, I'm Mark DeMoss. Thanks again for listening.